If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the Seattle Kraken 6-2, squandering a two-goal first-period lead by Chicago and giving up six unanswered. It's their fifth consecutive defeat, fourth straight in regulation. So I turn over to my right and bring in Troy Murray. Troy, how about the weather today? Wasn't it amazing?
Yeah, it was nice.
It actually really was very nice. I went on a walk earlier today. 70 degrees.
A walkabout?
Yeah, a walkabout. It was much more beautiful than the game that we just watched outside.
Well, like John said, it was a good start. I thought the first period was excellent, and they had energy. The killer was, though, that the 32nd goal after the Blackhawks took the 2-0 lead. You know, they got to find a way. They haven't had a lot of leads, and they haven't protected it particularly well when they've had leads. And, you know, another example, 31 seconds after they score that goal, bang. Seattle's right back in the game, and you know, all of a sudden it just seemed like everything turned at the tail end of that first period. But you're up 2-1. You had an excellent first 20 minutes, but right off the bat, Seattle came out second period and second and third period. I mean, they just took it to the Blackhawks. Never backed off, never sat back, and for the Hawks, just I think a lot of frustrations, you know, in that game, just the way it went, and they're playing in their own end of the ice.
All right, we got the legendary Darren Pang joining us. Thank God he's relieving us.
I'm out of here.
Troy.
Yeah.
I left you hanging after that period. I feel bad.
Well, yeah.
I just came down to show my chagrin.
But Charlie wouldn't give you his headset.
Well, he's got nice hair. What am I going to do? Take that headset off of that nice, beautiful locks that he's got going on? So I took it from Johnny Weideman because he combed his hair with a gym bag this morning, so I figured I'd get it from him. You know what I mean? Oh, my goodness.
So
I need some therapy here.
Our assessment in that, it was a good first period. I thought
excellent.
They played well. The Seattle goal, after Blackhawks took a 2-0 lead, though, that's where they've got to protect that. They've got to be able to play with the lead and protect that. That shift was important because up until that point, energy in the building was great. Team had a lot of motion, a lot of energy. They were winning all the puck battles, creating a lot of chances. And then, bang, all of a sudden, it turned in the second period. Seattle came out, played much better. They elevated their game, and the Hawks really got scrambly in their own end of the ice, and it cost them on a lot of plays. And not much Spencer Knight, your former goaltender, but when it's going from left to right, back to left, and, you know, the seams were wide open and the passes were excellent, great one-time shots, and really nothing that Knight could do.
You know what, Muzz, it's really difficult. I talked to Arvid Soderblom this morning about, you know, allowing 14 shots against in Vancouver and giving up six. It's the seventh in the total history, I think since 1959, it's the most amount of goals against on the least amount of shots. Seventh, it ranks. So you think of that number, and Arvid said to me today, he goes, I'd rather have had 40 shots, you know, from the dots. But he took blame, though. He said, I should have had Tyler Myers, you know, goal, but it was a hard game to get into, you know, to get any rhythm. And this one had the same, reminded me of it a little bit. There's no shots from the outside where you can trust the fact that the slot is covered and the guy's going to shoot it. Seattle had no intention ever of shooting pucks from the outside. They looked for those one-timers. They looked for those seams, and they definitely capitalized on them. And that makes it hard for the goalie because now you got no rhythm whatsoever. You're not making any saves. You're at home, and the puck, all you're doing is touching the puck. Arvid said to me, he goes, the most I touched the puck was when I got it out of the net. You know, I mean, and he was self-deprecating today.
At least he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah, he had a sense of humor about it, but I mean, I could feel for Spencer for sure. And the only one, I mean, I always like to break down the goals. Like, what everybody says, oh, I couldn't have that one. You didn't have a chance on that. Well, you have a chance on every one of them because that's why you're in the net. But the rush goals, I didn't like the Jared McCann goal off the left side. Even though he had speed, he's got a good shot. And I think Spencer will go through that and go, how did I get beat cleanly? And I was watching this morning in practice. There was a lot of rush chances because, the, like every team, it's two on O's, three on O's, one on O's. And then they did a little two-on-one drill. But, I mean, he was getting beat with speed, with shots. So there's an adjustment that he's obviously going to go evaluate it and figure out that particular movement. But you can't cheat on the one-timers, huh, Troy? Like, you can't
well, you gotta
you can't leave
the,
early. You got to protect the puck carrier.
You got to respect the guy who has
right.
the puck. He can shoot it
if you leave
time.
Early, then it's a bad goal against you.
Yeah, you got to have that backside protected by your coverage.
You get. And it wasn't in Vancouver, and it wasn't here tonight.
No, and the seams were wide open yeah. in the middle of the zone defensively. And they weren't there in the first period, but you spent most of the time in the first period in the offensive zone, so you didn't have to worry about it. You know, and it kind of it gets into that rhythm that I talk about where, you know, if you're playing in the offensive zone, as soon as the team that's on their heels, as soon as they get it, all they can do is get to the red line, dump it in, and get off on a line change. Well, that allows you to go back in there without pressure, face the play, make plays, and then get it back in the offensive zone right away, and it kind of just steamrolls. But after that, it turned the other way, mm-hmm. where the Hawks didn't spend any time in the offensive zone, and they got really scrambly in their own end of the ice. I thought Seattle's puck movement in the offensive zone was excellent. Whether
really
they
good.
Moved it by skating it or passing it high to low, side to side, it really opened up some opportunities, and the Blackhawks' defensive structure really got picked apart.
Don't you think this is just a simple formula? Why not just go back and pack it in like five on the dice in front of your net in the
yeah,
slot?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know,
like automatic retreat. Everybody go
home.
To their spot.
Protect the house. Get everybody back
house.
In there, and then that's you get back into that area, and then you spread out from there. Once you get it all sorted out, but all of a sudden you got guys going in different directions. They're out high, the middle of the ice was
they're
like
chasing the puck.
Yeah, and what was it? Eberle's goal. In the slot area. Yeah. You had all the guys back there, but nobody was picking up the slot. You had three guys out high, and you had the two defensemen down low.
Is that the Larson pass? Everybody was staring at the puck. Everybody, all eyeballs, was just staring at it and focused on the puck.
Oh, the Stevenson
Oh, yeah,
pass
that Stevenson pass. You're right. He had loads of time to make the pass. Heel-to-toe saucer pass.
Yeah, and that's
I could have made that to Muzz. I was a good passer in the
yeah,
day.
But I probably would have missed the net.
No. Would that Sherwood stick of yours? No way. No. It would have been in the net for sure.
What do you got to say, Charlie? Look at him over here.
I have a front row seat to seeing Troy and Darren work, so I'm hey. I know my plays. I'm watching history right here.
Hey, Charlie, on the Chicago Sports Network, we
yep.
showed Troy handing out the awards with Reed Simpson.
He pointed
yeah.
at it. When
yeah, it was... It's fabulous. I asked Ryan Donato about it and Jason Dickinson in the pregame warm-up, and all of them so proud of you and being a part of the alumni and being there. So hats off. Well done once again, my friend. You emptied the tank, as you always do, to make it a great event.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, it was great. We had a lot of alumni there. It's the Keith Magnuson Scholarship yep. alumni. Kevin Magnuson was there with his son Gunnar, who was there for his first time. Always great to see Kevin there. He is a,
oh, what a human
splitting
being.
Image of,
what
his,
a family.
Of his father. And, yeah, and,
what a family.
And the Makitas were there, Jane and Chris. You know, so it's always been a family. And to be able to welcome in, you know, three new scholarship recipients into the Blackhawks family, and that's always something special. And the awards that we gave out yesterday, before we get to the scholarship recipients, were all won. We're honored with four former recipients. Our first recipient was Tom Dillon, yeah. Joe Moore, you know, a few years after that. And then our first female recipient, Michelle Radzik, now Michelle Morgan, we honored them because they are a big part of our alumni association. You know, we need help. We need support with everything. And that's what we like. I mean, we want these people to be involved in our alumni association. We don't demand it if they don't want to be a part of it, and we've had a lot of people, you know, go through it, and they're great kids, and they're, you know, Tom Dillon is, you know,
oh my, he's an exceptional human being.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had the original award in 88, and so, you know, he's not young anymore, but he runs the luncheon, and Joe Moore is instrumental in everything, and Michelle Radzik has done everything from the golf course to our golf outing to everything else. So just the whole afternoon to me is really an opportunity to show what the alumni Association is all about with the Blackhawks organization. It was here in the atrium at the United Center. You know, so we thank the Wirtz family, Jamie Wirtz, Danny Wirtz, Jamie Faulkner, Danny Wirtz, for everything that they did. And just, it was a great afternoon. Yeah, I always
sure
love
was.
It. And, you know, you try and recreate the passion that was created by the first president of the alumni, Keith Magnuson, and then Cliff Coral was there, which was fantastic because his health isn't, you know, great.
No, he's battling Parkinson's.
He's battling, but it was so wonderful to see him that he made it down there.
And Lynae.
And his wife, Lynae.
No, I stayed at their house when I first got called up to the Blackhawks from Milwaukee.
Well,
stayed in the basement with the kids.
Was he your coach in Milwaukee?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. But then he got recalled here, so Jimmy Pappin ended up being the coach, but I got recalled, and we went to his – I stayed at his house, like, in the NHL, and I played hockey with CJ in the basement. And
yeah.
So the memories just come flooding back when you see it, and the history started with, you know, obviously with Maggie, and I just remember all the old guys coming all the time to the you know, and getting to meet, you know, whether it be Reggie Fleming and, you know, Phil Russell. And, I mean, there's so many guys that are part of the early part of it. Peter Marsh and Reggie Kerr and,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like, we've only had three presidents, and I'm very fortunate that I'm the third president. But, you know, Keith Magnuson's sudden passing in the car accident. You know, Cliff's health is not where it needs to be, so, you know, he passed the baton down to me, and I just want to keep that tradition moving forward, because as a former player, I was still playing when Tom Dillon,
sure.
You know, got
I was there for that one.
First award.
At the Como.
At the old Como Inn downtown.
Maggie made us stay long, too. Afterwards.
Well, afterwards. But we ended up finding a place yesterday.
We did, the barn. Right there on Ogden.
Yeah.
Great hockey bar.
Yeah.
Fantastic place.
We'll be there Thursday.
Thanks to Spencer
show.
And Eddie and the whole game.
See, I'm a company man.
He just chipped right in there.
Hang on, where's that?
Well,
look at this.
He added
right
that.
What's it say?
Right there. Join me and Kevin Powell at the Barn Hockey Bar in the West Loop Thursday, March 20th. We'll be there from 5 to 7. I just stuck it in there.
How come you have to write down your own name and highlight it?
I didn't write this.
Me,
somebody
I'm Charlie.
It's all about you, isn't it, Charlie?
Me, I'm Charlie the Insider.
Former, now an outsider.
He's Bob Uecker's color guy. Yeah.
How's your mom doing,
by the way?
What do
you got to add there?
She's doing great. Yeah.
His mom was my son Tyler's nurse, you know, at Loyola.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Yes.
Yep.
It is. I'm not kidding you. When you got hired by the Blackhawks, my mom texted me. She's like, you know, Darren and I go way back.
Yeah, she said that.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Yep. Tyler was in a tough spot there. Loyola saved his life. Saved his life.
And, you know,
very thankful for everybody there.
And your mom. Thank you for coming late.
Sorry.
Because you were you're coming in from New Jersey?
Yes.
And the flight was a little bit delayed,
yep.
but you made it and appreciate it because I know on St. Patrick's Day you're a busy man. You've got a lot.
John Weideman, what do you think he's going to say here? He's going to say something about being a wee little leprechaun, I think. I think so. Oh, a wee little, I was looking for my lucky charms.
I wasn't going there.
Oh, yeah, you were. Yeah, you were.
I don't know if it had anything to do with a milk carton or a step.
Yeah, he made me step on a chair yesterday so everybody could see
well,
me.
Well, I wanted you to stand up so everybody could recognize you because you weren't there, you know, a little bit earlier.
A couple of guys on the team said, man, he really doesn't like you. I said, no, that's how he shows a fondness.
That's what. And, yeah, you know I like you when I'm messing with you. Right, Charlie?
he pokes at you a lot. I hope you return the favor on the TV broadcast.
No, I never would do that. Never would do that. Okay, maybe I'll do that. Yeah, but anyway, I'm glad I used to go downstairs, you know, when I finished up and joined the show, but your big wheels, you move it up here now, you know, since Joe Brand didn't like you, so he went downstairs to do the post-game show. Charlie likes you,
that.
So he stays up here.
I think he wants to move down.
And I used to take a bucket of beer from the visiting coaches, and I would put it over there, and I'd enjoy a nice cold one. A Modelo.
With Joe live on the broadcast? No, I'm kidding.
No? And then help you out with the show.
We're hot stoving down. We're hot stoving down there.
You know I never helped you out when we won, because you got that. But I always like to chip in when it's a loss.
There was a game a couple years ago where Washington's their plane got rerouted and it wasn't there in time. So after a big win, actually, I think it might have been Ovechkin's 800th. Right?
Well, yeah, we sat in their coaches' room with their coaches.
So there was a...
there was a lot of beverages fucking filed into that visiting room.
Yes, we
room.
Did.
Yeah.
Kirk Muller.
I don't know who was
Spencer
having
Carberry.
It. Yeah. Well, that was the first time, but Kenny McCudden.
Kenny McCudden.
Was the old stick boy here back in the day. He's there.
And a great teacher of many, many young youth hockey players. Taught my son how to skate. Taught my daughter how to skate.
Yeah.
The old Glenn Ellen Arena.
A good friend of yours, and I played with him in the World Juniors. So yeah, we just sat around and hung out, which is one of my favorite things to do.
Yes, sure is. Sure is. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. Finish this off, put a bow on it.
We're pretty much done.
I'm really grateful that you relieved us from having to talk about this game. So thank you for
reminiscing. There were some good things, so we got to put that in perspective.
First period, there was a lot of good things.
And then to start the second period, they started, put them on their heels. But you know what? Again, you got to defend. And you got to be mean. You got to be tough. You got to be smart. You can't win this game by not defending the front of your net. That's all.
I can't.
I wouldn't have had some of those, Troy. Huh?
I can't let you go without asking.
You mean some of those shots would have missed you?
You are.
See? He's relentless.
Yeah.
I can't let you go.
He's smaller than a shooter tutor.
Goodness. The Patty Maroon fight, opening draw. That was an electric start.
Right off the hop, huh?
Look at that.
You think that the fans were sitting down? None of them. You look around, they were on their feet, the energy level was high, and I got to give them credit.
Nobody left for beer or popcorn.
Nobody. No, John, nobody left for beer or popcorn for sure.
Well, and John missed half of it.
What was he doing?
Missing the lines much.
Well, good for you. Did you get it right?
I'm waving my hand at him, and he's thinking, like, I see you, but I'm concentrating here, and finally I had to give it the... And he looks up, and they're already fighting. Because I'm watching them talk down at the face-off circle. I'm going, these two guys are going to go. And then I realize that he's looking down at his sheet, and I'm giving it this. And
you know, a healthy scratch for three in a row.
For a big rig?
Big rig.
Yeah.
Shows up. And
Hayden was a little bit of a surprise to be in the lineup.
Yep.
And he's, you know, kind of brings that element for Seattle. So.
Yep. Yeah. Good Chicago boy.
They started that line, and... Sorensen started his line.
And said, let's go.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's get things started. And I thought Big Rig made a lot of really good plays in this game.
He's got good hands. He does make plays.
Yep. He's definitely. But clearly not enough on the D side of it. And it's something that they'll discuss. I'm sure it was a little hostile there after that second period. It couldn't have been a quiet room. If it's quiet, you're worried. You know, you hope that there's some emotion and some yelling and some passion and some direct challenges as well to the whole team. So, anyway, guys, I'm off to Atlanta. I got to do some studio work with your Rick Bonus, one of your old coaches. I'll be in the
studio
with.
Yeah, tell him I said hello.
I will do that, Muzz.
And are you coming back for Thursday?
I sure am.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I sure am. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Frequent flyer miles.
Yep. Anyway, guys, take care.
All right, good stuff.
I gotta go take my dog Bruce out. See you, guys.
Thanks. Good boy, Bruce.
Love this little guy.
I love it. That is a great Darren Pang. John throwing on the headset. John, is it your turn?
This might have been the best post-game show we've had all year long.
I got to be honest with you. I was like, how am I going to fill a half hour right now with
Troy? You just filled 20 minutes of it.
And I see Panger. I'm like, yes. Attaboy, Panger.
He always comes in, great insights, great energy, passion for the game. You can feel it right through the radio. People that are still listening to us in their cars on the highways and byways, they're going, I want to hear more of that.
Listen, truthfully, you are telling the God's honest truth. I think people get a kick out of that entertainment, the sharing, the stories, all of that, much more than whatever Troy talks about after every post game. No, I'm kidding.
Well, guys, I'm going to leave it with you. Great work tonight.
You're jabbing at Darren. I gotta.
That's fine.
Panger left the rest of his Perrier here on the counter. So,
all right, we'll save it for him for Thursday. All right, Blackhawks fall to the Seattle Kraken 6-2. We got Blackhawks sound that rolled in from the locker room about 10 minutes ago, but I didn't want to interfere with what we had going on. So we'll hear from Jason Dickinson, Alex Vlasic, and then obviously Anders Sorensen eventually on the other side of the break. Blackhawks fall 6-2. We got more of the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Bedard over the Kraken line, drop pass to the line, held in by Levshinov to Bedard, left wing corner, whips it on goal, he scores! Connor Bedard, totally surprised Joey Decord. Bedard looked him off the near post and then rifled the puck into the top shelf, and it's 1-0 Hawks with a power play goal. What a shot!
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show. The Blackhawks scored two goals in the first period. One of them was by Connor Bedard, which you just heard. That was his 18th goal of the season. His shot went off of Adam Larson's skate and in. It was on the power play. The Hawks had went into this game 0 for 12 on their last 12 opportunities on the power play in their last five games. And so nice to see the Blackhawks break through in that department after a little bit of a drought. Not the way that Chicago or Connor probably drew it up, but I think they'll take it. Man, Connor was really good in the first period specifically. I think he had three shot attempts. Two of them hit the net. He finished with five shot attempts and four on goal, but it was a -3 rating and 15:29 of ice time, which is a career low in a game that he's played the full 60 minutes, if you exclude the game that he left in the first period of the New Jersey game last year where he broke his jaw. So he logged 6 minutes and 3 seconds in the first period, only 5:35 in the second, and 3:51 in the third period for Connor Bedard. So The ice time dipped. I thought his line, that in that first period, the Donato, Bedard, Nazar, they had one shift where they were literally in the offensive zone with puck possession for about a full minute. And so I thought they were going to be on their way to having a really nice game as a line and obviously as a team. But unfortunately, things spiraled the other way for the Blackhawks and they lose 6-2. Jason Dickinson, who's always one of the most insightful Blackhawks to listen to the media, spoke to the media just a little bit ago. Let's hear what he had to say about the 6-2 loss to Seattle.
Can you explain just how things kind of unraveled?
Sure, yeah. A few too many turnovers, soft on pucks, which is kind of tied into turnovers, and then we didn't protect the slot at all. They scored their first goal. D coming down the middle, slot shot. They score their second goal, winger pop, slot shot. They score their third goal, and two more backdoor. Like, there's just too many high-danger scoring chances. You can't give up that many and expect a goalie to make every save.
Yeah, what were they doing that they were getting so many one-timer chances like that?
Their timing was really good. They're hitting the spots with good timing and rolling out of it. So even when they didn't connect on it, they had movement that created extra zone time that created more opportunity off of it. And the ones that they did time well, they were slipping in behind our coverage. And quite frankly, that's on us, that our coverage is too weak to cover that tonight. I don't think it's a regular occurrence. I don't want to say that that's a common thing because I don't notice too many inner slot shots like that. But tonight it seemed that was all they were getting.
Was that just the sorting issues that was happening because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be part of it. There's a read that has to be made among the forwards on whose responsibility is who's once the puck starts to rotate. And, I guess we just weren't reading it well together.
How have you felt your first four games or so far?
Yeah. Okay. Not contributing, and it's driving me nuts. I expect a lot more of myself, and it's increasingly frustrating, feeling okay physically and good enough to go that I should be contributing a lot more than I have been.
As far as the team goes, what breaks a slump like this? How do you get out of it?
A gritty one. We are not a high-skilled team. We are not a team that can play with a shootout mentality. We're not going to take it to 8-6, 8-7. Those are not games that we want to play. We got to get into a gritty match where we're blocking every shot, we're getting into bodies, we're forechecking, and we're turning pucks over and making it miserable. It's not going to be fun to win hockey games that way, but but winning hockey games is a hell of a lot more fun than this, so I don't care how we have to do it, I just want to win.
Did you get some encouragement, at least from the power play, which, you know, hadn't produced much, but you got something today?
Doesn't matter. I mean, it's great for them that they got a goal, but we lose a game 6-2. What does it matter if we score on the power play, if we score shorthanded? It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. It's good. Let's get our cookies on the power play, but let's go win a freaking game.
Well, yeah, that was Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson, who sometimes wears the A for the Blackhawks as an alternate captain. Raw, honest, telling the truth about it, and he almost swore twice in that because you can sense the frustration in just the overall team performance, especially after that start they had in the first period, but also within himself, saying he expects more of his offensive
production and even just defensively too. I think he really prides himself on shutting the opponents down and especially the opponent's top line down. And the Hawks haven't been able to do that over the last couple games. I thought it was interesting saying. He said, we've been soft on pucks, and they didn't protect the slot. So a majority of the goals in the NHL are scored in the slot area or within 30 feet. And so here are all six of the goals by Seattle. It was 31 feet, 26 feet, 33 feet out, 19 feet out, 5 feet, and 24 feet. So almost every single one of those goals were from within 30 feet or very close to it. And so I think that's what the Hawks, and we heard Anders Sorensen talking about it coming into this game about how they're a very good rush team, and it feels like a lot of their goals tonight in this game were off the rush, but also that led to inner slot shots by the Seattle Kraken. So that certainly is going to be an emphasis for the Blackhawks as they go into Thursday's game and try to correct the mistakes from this one. Alex Vlasic, he has been a minutes eater for the Blackhawks, especially ever since the Seth Jones trade, trying to supplement some of those minutes. He spoke to the media also after this loss. Let's hear what he had to say.
Alex, sorry. It looked like the start was there, and what happened in the second period?
I think we kind of just got away from our game a little bit. I think we started to change what we had success with in the first period, which was just kind of hemming them in the zone, playing simple with it, and too many turnovers, they capitalize, and then momentum swings their way, and we couldn't find a way to shut them down.
Were there some sorting issues, it seemed like, on defense?
Yeah, I think top to bottom, we got to be better, myself included. I think there was a number of times where, like you said, we just kind of left guys wide open and in front of the net, and they were able to hit the trailer quite a bit on line rushes. We just were kind of doubling up when we didn't have to.
How's the level of frustration coming in right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the worst it's been all year, to be honest with you. I think we're trying to take steps as a group, almost at game 70, and it feels like we're taking one step forward, one step back. We're not really making any progress as a team, and if we do, we just kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. So it's frustrating to kind of just do the same thing over and over again for the whole year.
Alex, at this stage of the season, is it possible to turn things around?
I mean, we'd like to hope so. I think, you know, we're not going to obviously go on a winning streak of 10 games or something like that, but I think we can go into next year happy about the way we play the rest of the season. I think we can play smarter, more for each other, just harder on pucks. I think it was pretty evident tonight that we just weren't doing that. We were turning pucks over and just felt like everybody was kind of playing a little selfishly tonight.
For you as kind of the number one defenseman now, are you putting more of this on your shoulders? Do you feel more of the pressure when things don't go well?
100%. I think I want to contribute both offensively and defensively. It feels like when something goes our way, something, you know, doesn't go our way, it feels like we score a goal, I get scored on the next. It's just frustrating to, it feels like we can't just continue to put pressure on them like they're putting pressure on us. So, yeah, I understand that there's definitely more responsibility on my shoulders back there, and kills me to not really be able to help as much as I would like to.
Thanks.
Worst it's been all year is what Alex Vlasic was saying when asked about the frustration level. And we actually played Vlasic pregame sound when he was talking about what the team wants to accomplish in the final 4 weeks of the season, now 14 games of the season. And he said before the road trip that the Hawks had a really good stint. They were playing the right way. Everybody was contributing and playing selflessly. And he said, I think we got away from that with some mistakes, some turnovers, and some unnecessary things we've been trying to get all year out of our game. And so I think you heard that frustration of the one step forward, two steps back. And so hopefully the Blackhawks are able to kind of correct this going into Thursday's game, because you don't want it to spiral too much at the towards the end of the season, where then it's literally just not fun to come to the rink and guys have their eye sets on the, you know, the off season. So hopefully the Hawks can correct this. They fall to the Seattle Kraken 6-2. It was game one of a stretch where the Hawks are going to be playing 7 of 8 here at the United Center. They've been much better at home than they have been on the road. So I think that's part of the frustration of not being able to put together a nice effort, especially after that first period. But We'll see. On the other side of the break, we're going to hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen, who I'm sure had a lot to say after this 6-2 loss to Seattle. And that's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show here at the United Center. Very empty. No organ music anymore. Everyone's gone home. They're also not putting some tiles down because the Bulls aren't, or they're on the road. So this is a rare occurrence where I don't get to see the putting the tiles down in action. So quiet here at the United Center as the Hawks fall to the Seattle Kraken 6-2. I did want to mention the Blackhawks. I think the quick strike, obviously they go up 2-0. 30 seconds later, Seattle scores to make it 2-1. But very early in the second period, the Blackhawks thought they had made it 3-1. There was no goal light that went on or whatever, but Nick Foligno seemed convinced that the puck at a scramble inside the crease with Joey DeGord basically laying on his stomach. He was convinced that the puck had crossed the line, which it did, but I think he was arguing that it went in before the whistle, or I should say the intent to blow the whistle. And I went back and looked at the video, and it sure the puck clearly did cross the goal line, and it looked like the puck crossed before the official even starts to put the whistle into his mouth. So I think Chicago probably didn't feel like they wanted to challenge that because they were up 2-1 in the game already, and maybe a failed challenge there would have. I don't even know if that's challengeable. I think it's challengeable, but the officials did huddle around the penalty box, and they did decide that it wasn't a good goal. But anyway, that also could have changed the momentum of the game too. If the Hawks score there to make it 3-1, the complexion of the game changes, because 19 seconds later is when Seattle scored. It was Jordan Eberle, and 24 seconds after that, Seattle went up 3-2. So it was a very big swing in the hockey game. Again, not to even kind of throw excuses out there, but it is fascinating to see, like in hindsight, where there some of the turning point moments happened. And I think that was probably a moment too for the Blackhawks. Let's hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen to get his thoughts on this 6-2 loss to the Seattle Kraken.
Looks like you got the start you wanted, but what happened there in that second period where everything just kind of fell apart?
It fell apart there. I think once they got that second one, and then I think the disallowed goal there, I don't know if we kind of got caught off guard there, and then all of a sudden it's 3-2, right? But the biggest thing was turnovers. That's what hurt us. Yeah.
Dickinson was saying it seemed like a lot of the slot was uncovered, just for some reason kind of getting lost in coverage. What do you think was the reason for that?
We didn't get stops enough in the D zone quick enough, so you spend too much time in the D zone chasing it around, right? They rimmed it around east west, and all of a sudden it opened up a little bit. Gotta be quicker to close out and kill those plays.
I know you guys to play with like creativity and some of the younger guys, but are they being too reckless with some of those passes where it's getting turned so quickly, and then they're just failing the sword coming on back?
Yeah, it's a fine line, right? Today, or last couple of games, they're definitely hurt, right? So you got to find that balance, right? The difference between making a play and the risk and reward factor, right?
What do you think of Knight's performance? It seemed like he's giving up some angles, even ones that weren't one-timers.
Yeah, I don't think anything is on him here. I think it was the group in front of him. We didn't do a good enough job of helping him out. I mean, a lot of those plays are lateral plays, and yeah.
What do you think of Lepshinov? It seemed like he was a little less assertive.
Yeah, I think the whole group, you know, less assertive, you know, and that's what kind of hurt us right after turnovers. Turnovers happen. You don't want them to be as magnified as they were today, but then how does you respond to those turnovers, right? And we didn't do a good job there at all.
What statement do you want to see this team make in the last 13 games?
Well, we can't keep giving up the chances we've given up the last couple of games here, right? That's the biggest thing. And we got to try to kind of play the right way for each other too, right? Can't leave your goalie out, or can't leave our groups out to hang all the time, right?
Alex said morale seems like it's at its lowest point in the season right now. With where you're at in the season, how do you kind of get the positive vibes moving and change that morale level at this point?
Yeah, I think before the game, it felt like we were in a pretty good spot. And then obviously when things don't go your way, it starts snowballing, right? And obviously back-to-back tough losses, right, on the scoreboard. And obviously that's, you know, a recipe for low morale, right? But we're going to get back at it here. We got a lot of young guys, and let's bring the energy tomorrow again and talk about it and move on.
Is there any, like, lack of discipline as, you know, when the young team season's winding down? Could that be a factor as well?
In terms of what?
In terms of, like, discipline on, you know, with the 200-foot game, with the young team, like, kind of freelancing a little bit.
You mean the turnovers?
Yeah, well, everything, yeah.
Well, I think the turnovers are, if that's what we're talking about, it's the one that hurt us today, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying as the season's winding down, is it hard to keep them disciplined?
Well, I mean, they're playing in the NHL, right? They should, you know, want to be here, right? You're getting evaluated. We all are, right? So, you know, I mean, is that the product you want, right? So that's something we have to ask ourselves, right, individually and as a group.
On a positive side, I mean, the power play hadn't been going for the last five games, but you got one today. Do you see anything that went right with that?
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit of shooting mentality, right? I thought we shot right off the faceoff, had a tip that almost went in, and then recovered the puck and went at it again, right? So that's positive.
All right, that was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about this 6-2 loss to the Seattle Kraken. It was the turnovers, I think, that he made it clear where he felt things went sideways for the Blackhawks. And, you know, I know Spencer Knight's stat line isn't going to look great this game with six goals on 30 shots. But, man, there were so many of them, as I had mentioned. You know, almost every single goal was basically within 30 feet, but 33 feet to be exact. So a lot of those were lateral plays where it's just really hard for a goaltender to bail his team out. Spencer Knight is good enough that he can do that, but I think the goaltender is like the least of the of Chicago's concerns in a game like this. Like, there were a lot of breakdowns, a lot of rush chances. Sorensen, in the pregame podcast that we did together earlier this morning, he had mentioned that Seattle is one of the best rush teams in the entire NHL, and they showed why in this game. Tyler Bertuzzi, he went into this game on a 20-game goal drought, and he finally snapped that. It was he scored the second goal of the two in the first period, his 18th of the season. Boy, that was big for him. He needs to get going for the Blackhawks. There have been too many games recently where I've been watching and you just don't really notice him. And when he had that really hot stretch, he was playing on the line with Connor Bedard, but he was active. He was going to the dirty areas, aggressive on the forecheck, being a pest to play against in front of the net on the power play, and that's where he was getting a lot of his cookies. And so it was nice to see him produce. He also picked up a secondary assist on Connor Bedard's goal, so he finished with a multi-point game. But man, for him to score was his first goal since January 20th, almost 2 months ago. He's really got to pick up the production. I think the Blackhawks expect more out of him as well. But it was nice to see him find the back of the net. Hopefully, for his sake and the team's sake, that could potentially jumpstart him moving forward, because he had not been producing. He was on a 5. He's on a 5-game point drought as well. And prior to this game, Vancouver, San Jose, Colorado, his ice time was 12:34, 11:20, and 12:38. I mean, obviously it's because he was playing on the fourth line, but they need him. They signed him to be a top six player, particularly to play with on a line with Connor Bedard. And so for him to be relegated to the fourth line, he's got to earn his way back up to the lineup. And hopefully for his sake, this kind of opens up the floodgates within his realm, because Chicago needs him to get going if they want to finish this season strong and snap out of this 5-game winless skid. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we'll set up the next game. Which is here on Thursday at the United Center next. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Fiala, set up by Kempe. Cross ice, shot! Score! Adrian Kempe! So quickly on the power play, the Kings make Minnesota pay for the early penalty. Adrian Kempe, and the Kings are up 1-0.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show. That sound you heard was from FanDuel Sports Network's Nick Nixon covering the LA Kings. That was the only goal the Kings got in that Monday game in Minnesota. They lost to the Wild 3-1, which takes us into our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The LA Kings will be here on Thursday at 7:30 here at the United Center. Actually, they are already here. We were here at Morning Skate earlier, and I walked by the lower bowl of the tunnel, and I already saw the LA Kings gear here. So they were they're on a two-game road trip. They were in Minnesota on Monday. They had their five-game winning streak snapped with that loss. The LA Kings are an interesting team. If you look at their home and road splits this year, it's very bizarre. At home, they're 23-3-4 with a plus 37 goal differential. But on the road, they're 13-18-5 with a minus 21 goal differential. It's a 54 goal difference at home versus on the road when you combine that together. So they're legitimately one of the best defensive teams in the NHL. So the Hawks might have a hard time breaking through their neutral zone coverage, and just the way that they protect the house is as good as any team in the entire NHL. But it just feels like they're a different team on the road than they are at home. So hopefully the Blackhawks are able to potentially turn their turn whatever performance they had in the final 40 minutes in this game, turn things around. By the way, on Thursday, Kevin Powell and I are going to be at the Barn Hockey Bar in the West Loop. We'll be doing a special sports broadcast from 5 to 7. So if you're looking for something to do, that's day one of the March Madness tournament on Thursday. So looking for a little spot to hang out in the pregame, come to the Barn Hockey Bar where Kevin and I will have a sports show before the pregame show at 7 p.m. here at the United Center. And hopefully it should be a fun one. Blackhawks Hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That'll do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Patrick Hennessy. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our captain, Krista Flores, back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 6-2 Blackhawks loss to the Seattle Kraken. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night from the UC.